Welcome to Let's Talk About Test Baby, a fortnightly podcast where I ask, if Hamlet was a coder, what would he build? So listeners, welcome to our Test Bash bonus episode. This is going to go out in between normal episodes because Test Bash, I want to get it out earlier. So it is now, what, the week after Test Bash? It's been, what, 7 days since it finished?
Yeah.
I can't decide if it feels like it's been longer or no time at all.
Too long, really. Too long since and too long to wait till the next one.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, listeners, joined by Matt, and we're going to talk about Test Bash because we both went to Test Bash Manchester, which was the first one in Manchester, and I was so happy it came to Manchester, which is why I was volunteering on the day, because I was like, I will do anything that I need to do to get Test Bash to Manchester.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so happy for it to be around here as well, especially because it's only the second one I've been to. The first Test Bash I've been to was Brighton this year. And yeah, so enjoyed it so much, and it was awesome to have one around here and have a few people that I know from the meetups and locally and that come round and have some people from work turn up as well. So
yeah, that is always great. Like I said, meeting some, like having so many local testers come was brilliant. I actually really enjoyed as well that the pre-meetup was open to everyone.
Yeah,
because there were some people who couldn't make it who just came to the pre-meetup just to chat, and that was great.
Yeah, exactly. Especially shout out to Emma as well, because she couldn't go to any of the conference or anything. Didn't even realise it was on, but she managed to go to the meetup because she fortunately works at Rental Cars, so that's quite fortunate. But yeah, Rental Cars office is really cool. Good location.
Definitely all the venues were great because Manchester's great, so it's full of great places, which is another reason why it should definitely come back and be here every year.
Yeah, exactly. So should we get stuck into sort of rounding up the events, I guess?
Yes, let's talk about some highlights and takeaways.
So for me, the first thing is the pre-meetup you've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Brighton, I was keen to go to this at Brighton just because I didn't know anyone and it was like a kind of like icebreaker to meet some people. But I didn't realise how many of the speakers go to the meetup and that. So there's two sides to it, really. The nice thing is meeting all these people I've never met before, and the other side of it is also meeting the speakers or all these people that you know about from the internet, bloggers and podcasts and videos and everything, and just being able to chat to them before the main conference.
It definitely, although there was a thing where me and Claire Reckless were talking at the pre-meetup, and someone came over and asked about like what talks we're looking forward to, and I hadn't really looked at the schedule. I was going in basically blind, and then we mentioned a couple that we knew, and it turned out that it was Stephen who was doing the talk, and the one talk we didn't mention was the listening talk. And he was like, I mean, Stephen's great, so he wasn't offended, but he was like, yeah, don't mention my talk then, be like that. And I was like, oh god, I've offended someone already.
Yeah. So yeah, I was looking forward to this one after the Brighton one because I really enjoyed that, and this time around, because I'd met people from the Brighton one, it was good to see some people again that I haven't seen since Brighton, really, because people come from all over the country for these conferences. So, yeah, it was good to see people again. And also, yeah, meet people that I've chatted to since, but only online. So, yeah, it's a good like introduction to the conference, get you in the mood, and, yeah, just meet people, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I finally met Rosie Hamilton, who obviously I've spoken to for ages to be on the podcast, never met her before. And then I met her at the conference. It was fantastic. So that was a highlight for me, meeting all these people that I'd only ever spoken to on Slack or Twitter or even just been on the podcast, but never actually met in real, you know, in person.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah, although there are sometimes, I didn't have it this time so much, but I sometimes have the problem of when you get to know too many people, and then it's sometimes you forget people's names, it's really bad.
But, oh yeah.
Fortunately, that did happen this time. I don't remember it happening, but yeah. But yeah, it's nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that happens to everyone though. Like everyone meets so many people that you're just like, I know you from somewhere, maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
It may just be the internet. we'll see. Yeah, exactly. So I think it just happens to absolutely everyone at conferences, especially when there's like people came over from like Germany. I ended up taking, after the pre meetup, I left at the same time as a German couple, and they were like, we're looking for a bar, and I ended up walking with them to like top 57 Thomas Street.
Yep.
Just randomly. So I think people just fly in from literally everywhere just to come to Test Bash because it's such a great atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing as well. That meetup sets up the atmosphere of the whole event, which is quite, like I say, quite sociable and friendly, and everyone just happy to chat about testing and ask you about your experiences and share theirs. Yeah, it's cool. The reason I talk a lot about this, the meetup as well, is that I actually, at least personally, get a lot more value out of the meetups. Not to devalue the talks, right? But I get a lot of value out of the meetups, really, as well. From all the, I mean, you're networking, you know, and I hate the word networking because it makes it sound all professional and things, but it's nice to chat to people, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Make those connections.
Have all these people to refer to if you want to get help and things.
Exactly. It's all about making connections and talking to people and stuff like that. And while it isn't in, like, networking and stuff, it's still genuinely nice to kind of talk to people and have a nice relaxed atmosphere to do it in.
Yeah, exactly. But it isn't the main reason we're there. So, on to the talks. What was your highlight talk, or was it maybe not one talk? I guess, but what were your main highlights from the main conference thing?
Yeah, I was trying to think about this. I liked that a lot of the stuff was, a lot of the talks were stuff that applies to everyone. It was like listening and asking questions and communication stuff, which was quite nice. And that's kind of stuff I'm interested in. It's that kind of working with people and getting what you need from people, which sounds wrong, but working with people and teamwork and making that work, that's what interests me the most. I think that a couple of people mentioned bug reports as the most, and test cases as the most visible part of testers' work, really kind of got me, because obviously I kind of realised it, but I never heard anyone say that in bold terms, as this is the main visibility of a tester's work. And it just triggered some kind of a thought pattern of like, the main visible part of a tester's work is inherently negative because it's bug reports. And how we can, I started thinking about, is there any way we could like make sure our notes are more visible and stuff to make sure that we actually get the positives out there as well as the negatives? So that was, for me, because that was mentioned in two talks at least, so that for me really triggered off a whole line of thought.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the other thing I don't want to say it's part of these things, but with Agile and a lot of the movement with Agile and that kind of thing, bug reports and like test cases and that kind of thing are becoming less prevalent. Like, for example, in my workplace, we don't really have a bug database per se. So, I mean, we just try and, if we find a bug or a piece of work, we just try and fix it there and then, or we're not going to fix it at all. Or if it does need to be fixed later, then we make, you know, a piece of work to do it. It's not really a bug report per se.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of got rid of test cases as well. So it struck me because I was like, oh yeah, so I've kind of removed all evidence of any work, which is a bit of an uncomfortable feeling in a way.
But yeah, it's so weird. It's like, obviously we do work, but so much of it isn't captured anywhere, that it just feels really weird to realise that we don't like produce anything if we don't produce bug reports or test cases and stuff. Obviously we produce information, but if that's not documented anywhere, and a lot of people seem to think that Agile means we don't have to write anything down, then yeah, you're just left with this really like ethereal work.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely made me think about how can we show your worth, I guess. Or yeah, at least be able to talk about it beyond just the bug reports and test cases and things, and be aware that other people only perceive that.
Yeah, exactly. And testers are, I mean, it's a thing that's been going around the community for ages, how bad testers are explaining what they do and how they do it. And it just feeds into that thing of, we need to get better at maybe not defining testing, because that doesn't work, but defining what your testing is and making sure that people can see that and access that.
Yeah, why is it valuable to have you on the team? What are the skills you're bringing? And why hire you, basically?
Exactly.
Which sounds so horrible thing to say, but yeah.
But yeah, you as testers, we all talk about like provide, you know, giving value and that kind of stuff, but we need to actually define that and not necessarily like quantify that, but at least qualify it and say this is what we do.
Yeah. So I kind of had another take as well with the talks during the day, which was it felt like the morning, there was like two themes going on, and the morning was all about like psychology around testing. So you got James's talk about the critical social distance, you've got the asking questions, positivity, listening,
mm-hmm.
And then kind of the shifting left kind of side of it, which is not so much about psychology, but kind of about how you approach testing. Mm-hmm. Whereas the afternoon sessions were more about learning, because you had Helena and Yobes talk about their 4-hour tester experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, kind of like lessons learned and things like that.
Yeah.
For example, Baron's talk was kind of like his lessons learned from the consultancy work he was doing and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gwen's talk was a lot of like kind of lessons learned about how to shift right, really, and
look
at your infrastructure side of it. Infrastructure, ops kind of area, monitoring and logging, that kind of thing. So yeah, I kind of felt those two themes to the day. I don't know if you saw the same thing going on.
Yeah, they definitely felt like a lunch sort of divide. Because even Mark's, which was about like using acceptance scenarios correctly, was still much more about learning how that works and how it doesn't work and things like that, as opposed to the much more the I hate calling them soft skills, but you know what I mean, the psychology stuff. There was definitely a split. I kind of enjoyed that, though. I kind of enjoyed that it wasn't, you kind of knew what you were doing. I didn't even realise it until you've actually laid it out, that there was a definite split, but there was, and now I'm thinking, I think it was a good move. Now, thinking back, I liked that setup of the talks.
Yeah, I don't know if it was actually intentional or that it was actually a thing going on, but that's just how I kind of took it away, and it's how I've kind of memorized the main takeaways from each talk for me, is they've all kind of fit into certain themes a little bit. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that, for me, like the highlights were kind of around those themes, really. The psychology parts, and all the, especially the positivity, I think for me there's a couple of really good takeaways from Kim's talk on that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, on the learning side, the 4-hour tester experiment is particularly interesting to me. We've got a new tester starting soon, so I'm kind of, and they have no experience testing, so I'm curious to see what they think of that.
Yeah, see what the exercises are like. Mm. Yeah, I definitely need to check out 4hourtester.net. I've just not had a chance yet, but it's definitely high on my list of things to check out.
Yeah. Have you got any other highlights or any big takeaways from anything stand out?
I don't think I've started listening to The Happiness Advantage, that Sean Acre book, because it was mentioned in Kim's talk and Neil's mentioned it previously, and everyone else who mentioned it during like the breaks and stuff were talking about how amazing it was. So I've started listening to that on audiobook because I don't read anymore. I just listen. And that's actually really good. I'm really enjoying that. A lot of stuff that I kind of knew already, but he still lays it out in very sort of, so we all know this is a thing, this is how I did it, or this is how I got someone else to do it. And it's very sort of practical sort of tips as well as it just being all very sort of, if you do this and this, like sometimes it can be like the right three things that make you positive a day sort of thing. That's all well and good, but it doesn't necessarily tell you how best to fit that in or anything like that. Whereas he does some very sort of, this guy came to me with this problem, so we did precisely X, Y, and Z, and he found that really useful. So it's really practical.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice.
Awesome.
So I'm jumping on that bandwagon, it seems.
Cool. I got two highlights, really, which are the positivity stuff. There's a lot for me to take away on that one. I think it's quite pertinent. Pertinent the right word? But
yeah,
kind of, like I see myself in a lot of negativity sometimes when things are not going too well, and it's easy just to dwell on that. So even just from that aspect, it's kind of a nice set of things to think about and consider for myself. But also, like, Kim was talking about, you know, and you mentioned it before, actually, that a lot of our job is very negative and it's talk about problems and, you know, talk about bugs and things like that. So, and it seems to kind of value a negative kind of approach to things, or what feels like a negative approach to things. So, yeah, it's kind of good food for thought, really.
Yeah, definitely.
And then my second big highlight, I guess, would be... it's difficult, really. I guess Gwen's talk for me, get onto this with the open space stuff, but talking about the shift right, as well as Duncan's talk on the shift left, definitely very relevant to me right now. Definitely on my mind with how does testing fit into like DevOps culture, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of big takeaways for me from those, some good ideas about what you can do in those environments, like the shifting right of taking more time to test your logs, test your monitoring and that kind of thing, be more involved with the ops side. And then Duncan's talk, which, he had a great line about shared documentation doesn't equal shared understanding. So,
it was
good for you takeaways and things. For me to take away on that.
Yeah, definitely. The shared documentation does not equal shared understanding was actually quite pertinent to us, because we're writing a load of documentation at work at the moment, and we're trying to, our plan is to get it down and then share it with the wider, because it's going to be internal documentation, not external. And so me and my line manager were there, said, right, we need to sit, when that line came out, we're like, okay, we need to sit down and make sure we actually have the same understanding internally of this documentation that we're doing, because, yeah, just because we're saying something in documentation doesn't mean people who've never seen it before are going to understand it, right? So we need to make sure that the documentation isn't just used as handover, that someone sits there and, do you know what I mean? It just came sort of all this stuff that actually we need to make sure happens as well as this documentation.
Yeah.
So that was quite good. That was a big point for us as well. I do want to go briefly into the 99 Seconds talks, because I missed, my first test bash was Brighton, but I got a killer migraine on the day of the conference, so I missed the 99 Seconds talks. I had to escape. Yeah, I know, it's terrible. I missed everyone. I missed everything because of this stupid migraine that hit. So I was determined to go to everything this year, because I felt like robbed of my test bash experience in March. I didn't even meet you. Like,
I know.
What the hell? I met no one other than Lee, basically, because I was just completely... Anyway, doesn't matter.
Lee is awesome, though. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's fine. I literally know one. I was kind of sitting there by myself, and he just sort of kind of went, hello, I think I know who you are from the internet, and then introduced me to, like, five people.
Yeah, this is... Just for anyone that's listening to this that hasn't been to a test bash, this is, like, the main rule of test bash, right? If someone's alone, sitting by themselves or anything, you go talk to them. And that kind of summarizes the whole atmosphere there, which everyone is really friendly and trying to include everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was even in the... there was a test bash challenge, and one of the things on the challenge was go talk to someone who's by themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it is baked into the test bash experience that if you want to go talk to someone who looks like they're by themselves, just go do it, because, you know, just bring people into the fold.
Yeah, and I like that that's a challenge. Is that hard to find someone their own?
Yeah, because
you're doing it already.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't necessarily need to be ticked off, because everyone just kind of does it. But it was an easy one to get, was it? It's basically a free space. If you can find someone alone, you're probably going to go talk to them anyway. So, tick it off.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there was a 99 second talk that someone whose name I cannot remember gave, when they were talking about people who are first language English don't necessarily speak the same English as people who have English as a second language.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. And that just, it kind of fed into the shared documentation thing for me, because even though our documentation is internal, we'd work with a lot of clients who are, like, we have a team, one of our clients has a team in Thailand who do a lot of the testing. So I talk to a lot of the people in Thailand mostly on that team. And just me being aware once again that I need to be careful in my written communication, not careful, but precise in my written communication, because they learn English from, like, in a classroom, and I learnt it from my mum in the West Midlands. So I guarantee you the English I'm speaking is nowhere near the same as their English. And it's just something that I always tend not to think about, like what I'm writing. And again, it just clicked in my head that it's something that I need to actually be conscious about sometimes.
Yeah, I had a great analogy came up for a blog post recently about this, which was about bacon muffins. Some people will know what bacon muffins are, and some people will be really confused at using the word muffin, because there's many words that mean bread roll in England. Yeah, that whole thing about language and how people, you know, all use different words to mean the same thing or different things. And
yeah,
the whole shared understanding thing, basically. It's something that you don't think about because you're always, I mean, especially when you're working really well with people and you feel like the communication's working really well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so easy to then feel like everyone understands it the same, but they might not.
Yeah, you've got to have those check-ins and make sure you're understood. And actually, if you want to derail any conversation in England, ask someone what they call a bread roll, especially in a group, because that conversation will go on for hours. Hours. Like the email threads we have had at work over what a bread roll is. It's insane. I love it.
It's obviously a bacon balm.
I don't care. Just give me bacon on bread. Yeah. I literally do not care what form it comes in. I just want bacon on bread.
Just as long as it's not cake.
Yeah. What, you've got a croissant? Fine. Okay, it's all good. I'll roll with it.
So the main conference is on the Friday. And if anyone hasn't been to Test Bash, it's a single track conference, which is awesome because it means you don't miss anything. Mm-hmm. But on the Saturday, they had the first open space, which is not single track.
No. Open spaces are, I've always called them unconferences, so people might know them as that. So the idea is that you draw up a grid on a whiteboard and everyone who's there can choose to write talk, to give talks and just fill up the whiteboard. So basically all the content and the schedule comes from the attendees, not from the organisers. Most organisers generally tend to contact a couple of people in advance and make sure there are a couple of talks just to get the flow going, like Richard did me and Simon, I think, from Zap. I cannot remember his name. But he contacted both of us to make sure we had some stuff going in. But other than that, everything else was planned on the day. And we had basically a full day.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's the first time I've ever done anything like that. And not the first time I've... I actually went to... We went to Leeds Testing Atelier recently. I think I said that right. Did I say that right?
I think so.
Yeah. And that was multi-track. That was my first experience at a multi-track conference, actually. So it wasn't my first experience of multi-track, but I've never been to an unconference open space. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. If anyone is thinking of going to one, Brighton's got one now confirmed. Definitely check it out, because it's an opportunity for you to basically get a bunch of people who got a ton of experience and are really interested in the subject, because they'll come and come to it, obviously, provide some feedback on anything you want. So you could put a topic in and go, let's talk about this, and for 45 minutes you got all these awesome people to chat about it. So it's kind of like the meetup, but a little bit more organized.
Yeah, essentially it's halfway between a meetup and a conference. And it is I said it so many times that it is literally one of my favorite conference like setups. I've organized some and I've been to more, and the stuff you get is always gold. It doesn't matter like who's there, what crowd you've got, like people will come with like full-on workshops that they've thought about, and people will just on the day, like after a talk, write something on the board because something's triggered something in their head, or something from the conference has triggered something, and put it on and just ask a question. But it is so good. So I said I did one on being a tester in a bad situation, how to deal with that, and then I did a quick one on podcasting. You did one.
I did. I hadn't planned on it. I mean, I was thinking of doing the 99 second talk and thought, I didn't want to do one this time, but I had a topic in my head for it and I thought, oh, I'll do it in the open space. So yeah, I did mine on testing and DevOps, because that's quite relevant to me right now. And we had a good chat.
That was a really good chat. We actually ended up chatting like completely over the break because everyone was like, no, we can carry on chatting, it's fine. I think the reason we split it up is because I literally had to go and do my other talk. I was like,
yeah,
I actually have to go?
No problem. I was in a chat with Patrick and Duncan, and who else? But we were chatting about shifting X, which was shifting left and right, which is very similar to the DevOps thing. But yeah, a similar problem was like, oh, I've got to go now because I've got to do mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that was the only thing with it, right, is that because it's multi-track, it was a bit annoying though, because there were some times where I wanted to be in two places at once and I couldn't.
That is, yeah, it's that's how it is, isn't it? I mean, I wanted to, Dan Billing and I wanted to be in each other's talks, but we ended up being up against each other. And we were like, damn. Because yeah. He wanted to come in the podcast one because he was thinking of starting one. I wanted to go in testers in video games because that sounded fun. But it's the way it is. That's just the luck of the draw, isn't it? And that's kind of sometimes the fun of UnCon. Sometimes it's not the fun. Sometimes you're just there genuinely disappointed, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely worth checking out. If you're like me and was like, I don't know what an open space is and I have no idea this is even valuable, I will admit it's quite difficult if your work is being quite, you know, picky about what you get to go to for training and you have to demonstrate the value of it. I will admit it's quite difficult to argue the value of it. But I guess if I could think of a way to make it valuable is if you've got something at work that you're finding very difficult, let's just say, for example, you're trying to get your automation started up, which actually I think was one of the topics.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I was in, and that was really good. I mean, the person just came in and went, I know nothing, help me. They got an infrastructure drawing. They ended up doing an infrastructure drawing. Gwen was there. Some other people were there. And we basically just said, right, this is what we would do in this situation. They went back with a load of notes, a load of recommendations for like programs and tools they could use. And they could go back and start their automation.
Yeah. So it's like having a bunch of consultants for 45 minutes. Go, here's my problem. Yeah. And sort it out. Which I don't think is how you necessarily should approach your conference. It shouldn't just be like, solve my problem. But you know, it's an opportunity to be able to do that kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think also with everything, you get out what you put in. So if you're just going to show up, ask a question, and then disappear again, people will help, but they'll probably be a little bit pissed off. But if, like, you're genuinely there to interact and you happen to go, right, actually, while I think about it, I'd love to get some feedback on whatever, then people will be happy to help because generally we're a friendly lot. And, yeah, you'll go out and you'll go to other talks. So you can get value from it, but I think if you need to provide that sort of if you need to justify it like that to work, then see if you've got an actual question or something that you need help with, and then take it because you'll get answers.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, definitely check it out. If you're going to Brighton, I definitely recommend you buy a ticket for that. It's just as good as the main conference day.
Absolutely. I'm so glad it went well. Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad it went well and they've gone for it in Brighton as well, because so exciting. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, I kind of enjoy it a little bit more than going to the talks, just because, yeah, you were just getting into a room and chatting about stuff really in depth. And you're getting to know people a bit better. And it's the discussion rather than just listening to people all day. But at the same time, it is a little bit more intense because of that.
Exactly.
I don't want to put anyone off, but it is a little bit more intense when you're debating with people. Debating things with people, but yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. It's like everything in the test community. Like, I was sitting there in the automation one, and even in the test in DevOps one, I was like, I know nothing about this. How can I justify my existence? But at the same time, I learned a load of stuff that I'm going to go away and research. I mean, I was talking to Gwen afterwards, and she sent me her notes on how to basically ingratiate yourself with the ops team. So I'll go do that and see what happens. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I'd know nothing, but I've got a starting point now.
Yeah, and we should definitely do a podcast episode about that at some
point. Absolutely. Because I think it's a growing concern for lots of people now. So
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff to be said.
Yeah, so, and then I think it's also worth mentioning, just as the last thing, after the open space, we then went out for another nice meal and a few drinks, got to know a few more people. I met tons of people this time. It wasn't just meeting people I've met before, but I actually met a lot of people I'd never met before, so that was nice.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of people I wanted to say hi to, and I didn't have as many sort of long conversations as I wanted. But I also was running around a bit, I think, and just a bit, because I was excited and stuff. But I enjoyed meeting a lot of people, and I did meet a lot of new people. Mostly I talked to one person who I kind of knew already, and they introduced me to who they were with, and it was kind of you know, 6 degrees of separation things. But no, it was really good. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I finally got a proper test bash, because I feel like Brighton wasn't a proper test bash. But I also think it was telling that we all left at like 8 o'clock on the Saturday. We were like, no, it's time for sleep now. Yeah, sleep.
Yeah. I will say, I'm kind of getting used to it now. Like, it is a kind of good feeling in a way. It's a bit bizarre thing to say, but having a headache at the end is a good thing, because it means I've got tons of things to think about, and definitely learnt a lot. I think some of it's from just chatting to so many people I've never met before and carefully listening to them all. But yeah, you do get to the end, you're like, right, I need to go to sleep now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, we're all going to go to bed now. I know it's 8 o'clock, but we're all going to go home and sleep.
Yeah, we'll say for some people it probably might be because you were out quite late on the Friday and Thursday night. But
details.
Yeah,
it's details.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed it, and definitely recommend anyone that's not been to a test bash, definitely check out. If you're on Manchester, definitely go to the next Manchester one, because I think that's confirmed now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can make it, go to the Brighton one for sure, or wherever the local one is.
Yeah.
And hopefully there'll be more and more in future.
Absolutely. They are taking it on the road, which is great. I can also recommend volunteering pretty much for everything, but especially test bash, because the thing about going to a conference is it is understandably intimidating, right? Because you're in a room full of people, most of whom you've never met. Volunteering helped me get over social anxiety so much, because volunteering forces you to talk to people, right? But it also gives you a script for talking to those people. So I literally spoke to maybe half of the people that were there. But because I had a script, I knew what I was saying, and it made it so much easier to interact with people. So I would honestly recommend volunteering if you think you're having issues, because when you talk to people, even if you are literally just saying, what's your name, go that way, it breaks down the fears of interacting with people. And so when you go out into the break and stuff, you're like, you can actually talk to people easier because you don't have that fear anymore. So that is my recommendation.
That makes total sense to me, yeah, definitely. And you know, like, this doesn't get said enough, I guess, but, and I find it difficult talking about myself really, because I definitely don't consider myself someone that struggles with this, but I always consider myself a bit shy in that. Everyone finds it hard, right? The first time, you don't know anyone there. There's all these speakers there that some of them are relatively famous, I guess is the right way. A really weird thing to say people are famous, but they are.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're really well known. And that it can be really intimidating. You're like, you don't really know anyone. How can I talk to these people? But definitely should go to Test Bash if you're going to go to any conference, because it seems like everyone is a little bit more. Well, I can't really comment too much about the other testing conferences because I've yet to go to them. But everyone was pretty friendly and willing to talk pretty easily. I got to know loads of people really quickly. And I don't consider that. I mean, I guess I am quite good at chatting to people pretty quickly, but I don't consider myself super sociable.
But yeah, no, it is really easy, Test Bash. Just that atmosphere makes it incredibly easy. So yeah, go to Test Bash. What are you doing? Buy tickets. Yeah. There's so many on sale right now. There's like three, I think, still on sale right now. But yeah, I think when I definitely am going to rewatch all the talks, just to, because there's some stuff that I missed. I know that ironically during the one about listening, I was writing notes and missed some stuff he was saying about listening. So I'm going to go back and listen to that one properly.
Yeah, me and you both.
Because they're all going to be up on the dojo, and I think it's the way it worked with Brighton, I assume it's the same thing again, which if you went to the conference, they're free for you regardless of your dojo membership. But if you didn't go to the conference, you need a dojo membership to see the talks.
Yeah, if you want to check out the talks, check them out on the dojo on ministryoftesting.com.
Yes, and there's a dojo there. Yeah, that's everything. Also, 99 second talks, one of the most terrifying things I've ever done. Literally.
But now you've done it, would you do it again?
Yeah, if I could think of something to compress down to 99 seconds, definitely.
See, I found it an interesting experience when I did it, because they have you queued up, and at Brighton you're actually queued on a stage as well.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found it easier than when I'd done 99 Second Talk at Liverpool, because at Liverpool it was like, oh, now Matt's going to talk, and you get up, turn around, and you're like, oh, and I've got to quickly think about what I'm going to say and say it. Whereas at Brighton, I was in the queue and I was like halfway down the queue, so I had time to like get used to all these 300 people looking at me, and think about what I was going to say and lead into it. So I actually found it easier in a way.
Yeah, I guess you have got that little bit of leeway when you're waiting and you can see other people going up and do it and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Bit different when you do a proper talk, I think. There's a bit more pressure on that one. But
there isn't as much of the time pressure, so I don't know what would... Because I was so distracted by the time, did I just not even bother looking at the people? Because I was like, I need to keep it short, otherwise Vernon's going to tambourine at me. Whereas if I had a long talk, it would be like, oh God, there's like 300 people staring at me for like 45 minutes solid.
Yeah, although that's the thing I find with the 99 Second Talks or Lightning Talks is that because you're so focused on, I need to get my point made really quickly. I actually find that, well, I always find myself talking too fast or not being very clear in what I'm trying to express. I'm trying to talk too fast. I'm like thinking ahead of what I'm saying too much. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if I got like half an hour, at least I start too fast, but at least then I start slowing down and, you know, getting to the feel of it. At least do a talk of prepared, at least I know what I'm going to say next. It's a bit more, I don't know, I just think it's a bit easier to be a bit more natural about it and just talk through it.
True. Cool. So that's it from us. The next show is actually this Thursday, which is a talk with Andy Tinkham, which is very good, if I do say so myself, which is about modern testing. And full disclosure, my listeners, I had to re-record this for various reasons. But all that is left to say is thank you very much for joining us on this bonus episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. There will be some brief notes up on Let's Talk About Test.xyz, where there are all the contact details for the show. And if you like us, rate and review us on iTunes. As I said, next episode's 3rd of November. It's the last of our interviews, and it's a good one. See you later. Bye.